Module 3, Video 8, Prevention of Recurrence of SIBO. So with SIBO prevention of recurrence, we have a variety of treatment options. We certainly consider and usually do MMC upregulation protocols. These can include prokinetics, fasting, low-dose erythromycin, low-dose naltrexone, prucalopride, low-dose cyclical antimicrobial therapy, betaine-HCl, and bifidobacterium lactis. So let's look a little bit more into the detail of some of these different treatment options. So the natural prokinetics. So remember, prokinetics are really looking to upregulate that migrating motor complex. So we're going to take the prokinetics in our longest fasting state. So prokinetics, as a general rule, are always taken at bedtime on an empty stomach. So we can use 5-HTP, choline, ginger, D-limonene, and bifidobacterium lactis. Fasting is one of the best natural prokinetics there is, because fasting will upregulate ghrelin. So ghrelin, remember, is the hormone that is upregulated with fasting and directly influences both the MMC of the stomach and the small intestine. So post-SIBO, it's a great idea for people to do intermittent fasting, where they are fasting up to even 18 hours at a time. So really maximizing that impact that the MMC could be active. So trying to get all of the food that somebody needs into about a 6-hour window. One of the easiest ways to do this for people is with higher fat. And we can actually use MCT oil during the 18-hour fast and still get the benefits of intermittent fasting. So basically what I mean by that is, if we have dinner, say at 6 p.m., in an 18-hour intermittent fast, the next day we would have lunch at noon. What we can do to help stabilize blood sugar, if somebody is having a hard time making it through that 18 hours, is give them some MCT oil. Since MCT oil is digested by being upregulated into the lymphatic system, it actually still gives us the benefit of intermittent fasting. Another option from a pharmaceutical standpoint is low-dose erythromycin. For low-dose erythromycin, the dosage for motility is 50 milligrams per day, given once at bedtime. It needs to be compounded at this dose, or else a quarter of a 250 milligram tablet gets us pretty close. Usually we use compounding pharmacies for this. So here's a study showing the erythromycin has the ability to basically bind to motilin receptors, increasing motilin. And motilin, as we learned earlier, has a direct impact on the migrating motor complex. Here's another one another study that's basically showing that the decrease of delayed gastric emptying was strongly influenced by low dose of erythromycin. So another example that we can use is low dose naltrexone. So low dose naltrexone has now gained so much popularity in the autoimmune world for inflammation. So if somebody has any autoimmune disease or is highly inflamed, we generally will choose a LDN over an LDE to get this side benefit. So the research on motility and low-dose naltrexone shows 2.5 milligrams per day at bedtime if there's diarrhea. And the same research study found that for constipation, 2.5 milligrams twice a day, one time at bedtime, one time in the morning, works best for constipation. Now, with low-dose naltrexone, the way it works is naltrexone is an opioid antagonist. So when we take it at night, what winds up happening is the naltrexone actually binds to the opioid receptors. And so this is sending a signal to the body to create more opioids, because it's not having that stimulus. And since those receptors are blocked, we don't get any of that opioid result from the body's creation. So in the morning, when that LDN has worn off, then all of a sudden the body is flooded with all of these opioids, which actually help really turn down the autoimmune response, we've learned. So even though this particular research study that we're referencing says that for LDN, for constipation and motility, we want to do 2.5 milligrams twice a day, if we are using it in addition for an autoimmune situation, that twice a day dosing is really not going to work, because we really need that lack of that opioid antagonist in the body after having that opioid antagonist to really allow for that autoimmune effect to occur. So if we're using LDN, and we have it's somebody that has been constipated, and we also have autoimmunity, we tend to then just give the full dose of 5 milligrams per day, only once per day at bedtime. And this is the study here that I'm referencing with those dosage. So another option is prucalopride. So this drug, we can do 0.5 to 1 milligram at bedtime. And this study here was on tegoserod from Dr. Pimentel. It showed greater success than erythromycin for preventing recurrence of SIBO. However, it's something that's good to know about, but tegoserod is not available in the U.S. market because of a safety reason. So it had really good results, even better than erythromycin, like I said, but for right now, we can't access this one in the States. Another option for preventing SIBO recurrence is low-dose cyclical antimicrobial therapy. Now, this type of therapy we tend to do in combination with a prokinetic. We don't tend to do on its own because of the strong research saying that we do need a prokinetic, but we have found clinically that if people have had recurrence of SIBO, we've had success with low-dose cyclical antimicrobial therapy. And what that basically means is whatever sort of herbs or treatment they had success with, we once a week or maybe twice a week will give small amounts of that herb. So if we're using berbamycin, for example, at 500 to 1,000 milligrams a few times a day, then when they are in the preventive of recurrence mode, we might do something like Saturday and Sunday, we give 500 milligrams 1 to 2 times per day each day. And we see that when we can pulse those antimicrobials in combination with doing the antimicrobial therapy or the prokinetic therapy, that can really help with SIBO recurrence. Another thing, of course, is betaine HCL. So we talked about how protein pump inhibitors and hypochlorhydria really are big components as far as the pathogenesis of how small intestinal bacteria occurs. So we actually need to then, if that's how the pathogenesis occurred, we need to go back and resupplement with those things, making sure we're eradicating H. pylori. And then Bifidobacterium lactis. So this is another strain of probiotics that we can use that can really help with the recurrence of SIBO. So a couple dosaging ideas here for HCL, gastriacid, one cap with each meal. For 5-HTP, we can use 5-HTP CR, one tab, BID with each meal. For ginger, we can basically buy fresh ginger and cut it into thin rounds and boil 2 cups of water for 20 minutes and drink at night before bed. We can add lemon for a small amount of limonene as well. And this, if we're using ginger and delimonene this way, I wouldn't use this as a standalone prokinetic. And at this point, honestly, we are combining two different prokinetics at a time. We're finding that's another area where we're just getting better results if we're doing something like an LDN plus a 5-HTP or an LDN plus a ginger. Seems to get better results as far as recurrence than just using one alone. Bifidobacterium lactis, we can get that in Probiomax DF using one cap at bedtime, which has 50 billion colony-forming units per cap. And then, of course, another thing to consider is the gut in the mind, and we will be talking about that in the next video.